It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast as we talk real estate right around the UAE. And of course, we are focusing on the Dubai property market. And we are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And it's a Thursday morning, April the 4th, yes, well into the new month. And we have got Lillian LeCampion joining us because it's right now time to look at the life and times of a new Dubai real estate agent. And first off, Lillian, I want to pick up on this story that was in the wires last week about hundreds of residents fighting not to lose their life savings in a bit of a property battle. This is quite a scary story, so perhaps you can explain this to our listeners.
Yes. Hi, Craig. It's a bit of a sad story, actually. There's a community that was launched in 2005 in Dubai Land, which is about 20 kilometres east of downtown Dubai. For listeners who live here, they'll know that it's near Global Village. It covers 41 million square foot of land, and it was supposed to house 2,000 families. So if you look at the master plan from the sky, it's literally in the shape of a falcon, which is, of course, the major cultural symbol of the UAE. So this project was called Falcon City of Wonders. And basically what has happened, according to the media outlets, is that there was an ongoing dispute between the developer, Falcon City, and Dubai Land, who are the master developer, over unsettled dues. So the court case played itself out. Falcon City actually lost, and the Dubai court ordered them to pay 1.3 billion dirhams to Dubai Land, the master developer. And then if they didn't do that, their land would be seized and sold at auction. So whilst this is going on, despite the court order, the developer actually continued to sell 400 villas to unsuspecting families, many who actually put down 50% down payments. And so then they went on to sign the sales purchase agreements to transfer the pre-title deed at the DLD office, and they were told that there was a block on the title deed. And this was actually because the land that they had bought had already been sold off in the court settlement to pay off the developer's debts. So according to the Khalij Times, there's about 50 lawsuits against the developer at the moment. And one of the saddest things is that people have actually lost their life savings, many of whom had plans to retire there. Look, I mean, I know that listeners may be listening to this and thinking, how do I avoid this in the future? The good news is, look, this was 2005. It's coming to head now, but the government has put in place certain laws, such as proof of ownership, which means that developers now must have proof that they own the land that the project is being built on. And that's exactly just to avoid situations like this. So rest assured, I think if you're buying now, you're relatively safe buying from developers.
That is such a scary scenario. And one really does sort of ask the question, why? Why on earth would a developer, knowing, go and then sell all those properties? I mean, that is just not good business practice. That is the understatement for a Thursday.
Yeah, it is really sad. I guess in their heads, they probably thought that if they got enough money from the unsuspecting families, they would be able to pay off their debts, sort of robbing from Peter to pay Paul. But unfortunately, it didn't work out this way.
Yeah, that's unfortunately what a lot of these businesses do. But as you say, we are living in different times these days. And yeah, a lot of work has been done in that area to protect buyers from exactly what you're saying. You know, we were talking last week. I must ask you before we move on, you spent a week in Gedari Ski Resort in Georgia. And for those that didn't hear it, you were skiing your little heart out.
I did. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, I've skied all over the world. I've been to Japan, New Zealand, of course, where you're from, Craig. I would say that the powder really does compare, and it's only a 3-hour flight to Dubai. So anyone who's really missing the powwow, you got to come that way.
Whereabouts in New Zealand did you ski?
I've actually been to Cadrona, Coronet Peak and the Remarkables and a couple of the other resorts around Queenstown.
Oh, yeah, remarkables. What about Treble Cone? Did you get there?
I did do that, actually. I forgot about that one. But, I mean, they're also amazing in New Zealand. You can't really go wrong.
Treble Cone, I remember getting completely out of control on Treble Cone. It's a mountain you don't want to get out of control in, and sort of bowled and ran over a few young children, which was a little bit unfortunate. But apart from bruising, they survived.
I mean, that doesn't sound great, but I guess it's the risk that comes with extreme sports.
Yeah, especially me when I get out of, I mean, I should have just fallen over, but I thought I was being smart trying to correct myself, but there was too much speed at that stage. And you do the boarding, of course, the snowboarding, which is something I've tried, but I just cannot. My brain is just looking for the second ski.
Oh, I just love it. It's honestly, to me, it's the greatest feeling in the entire world. So I just can't beat it. I have to do it every year.
Now, let's move from skiing and running over small children. Let's talk about portable water, which has to come into Dubai. Lillian, perhaps explain to people why expats often complain about water in Dubai.
Yes, water, water, water. This is a big topic in Dubai. Obviously, we live in the desert. And the primary source of fresh water in Dubai is desalinated seawater that comes from the Arabian Gulf. So this actually accounts for 89.9% of the city's water supply. It is completely safe to drink, and it is actually an incredible feat considering that we do live in the desert. However, the water in Dubai is hard. So what I mean by that is that in the Jebel Ali desalination plant, Diwa actually uses reverse osmosis to desalinate the seawater. So they use chlorine to kill the bacteria and the pathogens, and then they add minerals like calcium and magnesium to harden the water. So I don't know if you remember the old school water coolers found in offices about 15 years ago, but I'd say nearly everyone I know either has one of these water coolers in their house that gets delivered once a week, or they have filters that are installed directly into their taps.
Yeah, old school water filters, those bottles, they were great. Yes, you certainly need those in Dubai. And of course, when you're talking about hard water, there's all sorts of problems, but one of the critical ones is women's hair. So perhaps I'll let you explain that rather than me.
Yeah, this is a hot topic for every woman that I know. So since chlorine is an oxidizer, it actually penetrates the hair's outer protective cuticle layer. And so it's damaging the underlying structure. And so your hair becomes quite dull and dry and brittle. So every woman that I know has pretty dry hair and it makes it fall out. We all buy special filters for our shower heads, and there is a lot of money spent on hair masks and treatments. And I'm really sad to say I actually had to cut a massive chunk out of my hair about 2 weeks ago because it was getting so dry.
Well, all I can say is welcome to Dubai. It's a really good point, though, because people sitting outside of Dubai, those that are coming in, maybe coming in to work in the real estate industry, they're thinking, fantastic, you know, the sunshine, the warmth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It probably comes a long way down the list when somebody starts to think about, oh, what about the water?
So I didn't actually know about the water issue the first month that I was here, and I thought that I was really stressed with moving country, the emotion of leaving family and friends behind, starting a new job, and my hair was falling apart and breaking, and I thought, wow, I must be so stressed, until someone said, no, it's the water, and it suddenly made me feel a lot better.
Yeah, no, it's definitely in the water supply. Right, let's go from water. This next one is quite an interesting one, particularly for people looking to move and buy in Dubai. And not only that, also real estate agents as well, because you need to know about this stuff. And I'm talking elevators. Now, elevators have different speeds, and that is going to be the talking point with this, because it is a marketing thing when it comes to how fast the elevators are in Dubai.
Yes, this is another one. We could probably put this alongside water with things that you need to put up with in Dubai. So as you mentioned, on nearly every single property listing for a new building, you'll see under the amenities, high-speed elevators is one of the selling points. And you might think, oh, that's not really that important. But anyone who lives in Dubai knows that you can spend hours of your life that you will never get back waiting for an elevator. So it's sort of a given that say you have a meeting that starts at 3 on the 24th floor, you should probably get to the building at about 2:30 just to allow enough time to get to the floor that you're after. So this really shocked me when I first arrived because I'm used to elevators where you press the up button, you get in, and then you type in 2:04. But a lot of the elevators in Dubai, they don't have an up button. So it's got a panel with numbers on it. On the ground floor, you press 2:04, and then it'll tell you to go to either elevator A, B, C, D, or E, etc. So you can't just get into any of them because if you do, it won't go to the floor that you're looking for. So peak hours in the morning is the worst. Lunchtime is bad. Evenings when everyone's going home. In our business pay office last week, I actually waited half an hour to go to level 32 where I had to drop off some paperwork to our finance team. This took about 30 seconds and I waited another 30 minutes to go back down again. So my advice to anyone moving to Dubai is bring your patience with you.
Yeah, I recall many times when Mario has been running late and he will send me a WhatsApp message and say, these damn lifts, I'm sorry, I'm running late because of them.
Yes, well, I mean, the good thing I would say is that in Dubai, mobile phones do work in elevators, where a lot of the rest of the world, your phone, the reception goes out once you're in. So at least if you're stuck in there, you can keep working.
That means they've probably got a repeater inside the elevator shaft. So that is very smart technology, and why not? Just to finish up with the elevators, though, you recently purchased, so you know what my question is it fast?
Look, in a lot of residential buildings, they do a quite a clever thing where they split the elevators. So in the new apartment, I think it goes to level 70. And then so you've got half the elevators that go 0 to 35 and then the other half that only go 35 to 70, which is a really, really clever way of dividing the population.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, look, enjoy your Thursday. I know that you'll be very sad that you're back in Dubai and you're not on the ski field any longer, but enjoy the sales which are coming your way. So thanks for that, Lillian, and we'll catch up with you on Saturday with the Saturday morning property market update.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. I might have to try Ski Dubai in the mall.
What to buy, where to live, and things to avoid every week on the Dubai Property Podcast.
I understand there is a new strategic partnership, Mario, that was announced over the weekend. So tell us all about what's happening with regard to this.
Yeah, that's right, Craig. Yesterday, it was announced that the Dubai Land Department, or the DLD as we call it, has entered into a strategic partnership with 9 developers in order to support the Dubai real estate program. I understand that this move will provide enhanced job opportunities within the real estate sector in accordance with labor laws, obviously. The DLD will be looking to further empower the competitiveness of Emirati professionals within the real estate sector, but a large part of the agreement will be to allocate 10 to 15% of inventory quota from projects to be sold through Emirati brokers.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing, and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.